If you haven't heard, Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yeah, boy, was that something to behold.
And it sounds a little different.
That is a brutal ball.
Settle in, get yourself a brandy.
Triple M, rockin' Test Cricket.
And after almost losing the unlosable, Australia takes a 1-0 lead into the second test.
It's Yorker. Oh! I reckon that's out. It is out.
Live from the Triple M CG, it's day 3 of Australia and Pakistan.
Triple M, Triple M,
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Yes, hello and welcome to the MCG for day 3 of the second test between Australia and Pakistan. Isha Guha here. Pakistan won the toss and elected to bat on day 1. They will resume on 6 for 310. Azhar Ali at the crease on 139 after another brilliant 100 and his 12th in tests. He played with a lot of poise and elegance, particularly down the ground. Mohammad Amir at the other end on 28 was lucky at times, but fortune favoured the brave. In his case, after starting the day on 4 for 142, Australia picked up the wicket of Asad Shafiq and Sarfraz Khan. The story very much, though, about the interrupted play with 3 hours being taken out of the day due to rain. It kind of stemmed Pakistan's progress and, if anything, helped Australia every time a partnership was formed. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that it is very dark and grey here in Melbourne at the moment with the rain falling for the last 2 hours. The covers are on and we're hoping that it will pass in the next hour or so and we can eventually get some play. The great Kerry O'Keefe alongside me. A frustrating day all around yesterday, but we did get to see some good cricket in patches.
Oh, we did, and most of it was played by Pakistan. They've been terrific in this match, Ish. The problem for them is that they're only halfway through their first innings and we're already 2 days gone and the weather is chewing time out of the game. Further frustration again today with the big covers on the pitch. But the weather, you know, it's around, but hopefully we get play because I think Pakistan want to get bowling. They may bat a little bit on, get 350. I think they fancy themselves to bowl Australia out for around 200 on this pitch, lead by 150, press and expose them to Yasir Shah on the last day and see how they handle it on a dry pitch with plenty of purchase for their leg spinner and a bit of reverse swing for their seamers. So it's all about getting on. Mohammad Amir set the tone late yesterday, hit lots of boundaries in 28 not, and Azhar Ali measured his innings. He was just about to start to accelerate when the rain came again. He's been terrific. You know, bear in mind, he got 200s against Australia at Abu Dhabi in 2014 in a match. So he's well versed in how to play this Australian attack. And the key to his innings is that he has specific tactics for each bowler. He sees off Hazelwood and he attacks Stark. And although Stark gets him out, he sees Stark as run-getting material. Not many batsmen around the world see that, but Azhar Ali does. And he's comfortable against Lyon and Jackson Bird. He's prepared to wait for the half volley. And Bird conceded a number of boundaries yesterday. I mean, Hazelwood conceded just one in his whole 26 overs, yet Bird conceded 13 and Azhar Ali hit a lot of those. So it's the way he goes about dismantling the Australian attack which is of interest. He's done it before and he did it again yesterday. And he is their big wicket again this morning. If they were to get him out early when play does start, they could bowl them out pretty cheaply. Sahal, Wahad and Yasir, not much there. So that would be in Australia's interest. But it won't be a great day for batting. There's a cloud cover. It's very humid. The ball could wobble around. And they are in a very, with their attack, they're in a sound position to put the Australians under pressure.
Absolutely. Azhar Ali, the fifth leading run scorer in the world this year. He scored that fabulous 300 in the UAE against the West Indies. He picked up 100 in England as well after he had a bit of problem with the LBWs. He was falling over a little bit, worked on his balance and came back strong at Edgbaston. Just running through the bowling then, Stark 23.2 overs, 77 runs, economy of 3.3, no wickets. Josh Hazelwood 26, 33 runs. He's been incredibly economical, 1.26 and picking up 2 wickets. Jackson Bird 3 for, he's bowled 29 and gone for 91 runs. Nathan Lyon just the 17, but I think that was because of the weather conditions around. He's gone for 69. Steve Smith with 3 overs And that was when the ball was a little bit old and they were just trying to get through to that new ball. He went for 9 and Nick Maddison also with 3 overs going for 18. Mitch Stark struggled a little bit with that front foot. And do you think that was a problem for him in terms of his rhythm?
I think it was. He was always scratching at that front foot. There was a bit of slide there. He basically was reduced to either a Yorker bowler or a bouncer bowler. And that's where Hazelwood and Bird were superior yesterday. They bowled the trajectory to deny Azhar Ali the half volleys and the shot on the up through the covers. So that's why, in Josh Hazelwood's case, junkyard dogs are more giving. He was mean.
Yeah.
Whereas Bird did search for the wicket-taking ball, and that's where Azhar Ali pounced a few times. But I think Stark is a concern. These are back-to-back test matches here in the SCG. He got through 56 overs in Brisbane. He's got through a lot here, and he's still wicketless. I know that David Saker, the bowling coach, said, no, this group will be all right to play in Sydney. I don't know whether they will. But this will be their fifth straight day in the field against Pakistan with not much of a break. So the Pakistanis, they're 1-0 down in the series and they've got to press this game forward quickly. But they are keeping Australia in the field, even though they trail in the series. So they'll take something from that. But their main mission today is really to pressure the batsmen, particularly Warner and Smith. They think they're comfortable against the others, and they may just have a day where it's good to bowl.
Isha Guha here, and I'm delighted to say that joining me is Kerry O'Keefe and Mick Molloy, and I believe Mervyn Hughes is not far away either. Kerry, so earlier on you were speaking, you think that because of the nature of the rain and the weather around, that Pakistan will look to perhaps get about 70 or 80 more and then declare?
I think if they see the ball moving around and batting's not that easy, they may declare before that, Ish. I think that it's suck it and see. They'll just see what the ball is going to do in these conditions. Heavy cloud cover, lights on, sighting not good. But they're going to throw the bat. There's a suggestion they may have declared, but they probably don't think they're safe enough yet at 310. But 350, 360, they'll see safe. They want to get there as quickly as possible.
Mick, have a good evening last night?
I did indeed.
You didn't play the rain card, did you?
I didn't play the rain card. I was tucked up in bed early, and by bed I mean asleep on the couch with the TV on. At about 8 o'clock, so I feel quite fresh this morning. We've got the run of the joint here on hump day, third day of the test. I hope you're right. I hope we see some fireworks early and we get cracking.
I think we will, Mick. When you look at Mohammad Amir, the way he played his strokes yesterday, Wahab Riaz throws the bat, and so does Yasir Shah. And I'm interested in Sahail Khan at 11. He's a guy that upsets people. When he bowls and when he bats, and the Australians are easily upset, and his demeanour will upset them because he looks arrogant at the crease. He gives himself room and swipes it and stares down the bowler. I can't wait to see what happens when Sahail Khan gets to the crease, if he does.
Yeah,
Australia has to get rid of people like Azhar Ali, and they've had no real success in the last couple of innings.
Well, I'd like Mitchell Stark to get a wicket too.
Yes.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, to see him get involved?
Yeah, had a few problems with that front foot yesterday. He was slipping on landing, and he's going to take the ball from the southern stand end here at the MCG, which is the furthest end to us. We're just above the members area, and he'll be running towards us. Azhar Ali on strike on 139. Ian Gould, you'd have heard him there say, let's play. So here we go. Ball of day three.
Pakistan 7 for 368. The news is looking brighter. We left proceedings a few moments ago with rain falling. Well, it's only very light, if at all, at the moment.
At all.
Mick Molloy, the sun's starting to...
This is a pointless waste of time. They could have played through this. They could still be out there. Now it's going to take them ages to get the covers off. I mean, look at that. No one left their seats.
I reckon it's a fair call.
The players left the ground and no one left their seats in the auditorium. They're just sitting there going, where's the cricket, Joyce?
2 or 3 minutes of rain, that's all it was, Skull. And I think Mick's onto it there, that they should have persisted a little bit through the rain.
This is a great anomaly of cricket, isn't it? People pay big money to come to the ground and umpires just meander on and off. Let's get these covers off. It has stopped raining, I think. And let's get playing.
We're not here for a haircut.
No. And the game, the rain's chewing so much time out of the game. This could well up into something if Pakistan bowl well this afternoon.
We're debating whether or not a declaration could take effect. The general feel is no, but I think, Kerry, you and I would certainly like it to be a consideration.
Yeah, indeed. I think they ended the day with a number in mind, Chuck, and it may be 400, so they're still 32 short of that. But we did notice an acceleration in the final three overs before the rain interruption. So we're going to see some quick runs or quick wickets. So something will be resolved within the first half hour on resumption. And then Pakistan will be in the field with this three-pronged pace attack having a crack.
Can you tell me why there's not more urgency from the Pakistanis? Because I don't get it, because they're one down the series.
Yep.
They've got, you know, they can bat again. There's only just 2.5 days to go. Why wouldn't they have come out and clubbed it to all points of the ground, got off and had a go?
I think Misbah Ul Haq is a much respected captain, Mick.
Yep.
But I think if he has a fault or a shortcoming, it is in the fact he is fairly conservative, and his field placements, you know, very early in Brisbane suggested that he was defensive.
He's just letting this game kind of meander, yeah, and play out without forcing the issue.
Having said that, his captaincy record win loss is outstanding,
yep,
so he knows how to win. Excuse me, but he also hasn't, this game, because of the weather, needs a proactive captain, and whether he's not used to that, you know, sometimes you've got to come out of character.
Come and have a word, would you?
Eh?
Could you come
go and have a
word?
No. I don't think he wouldn't listen too much, but but I mean, he's an outstanding leader of this side,
yep,
and he's drawn them to number one. They may get to number one again, but this has been frustrating to watch because their big chance is under a leaden sky.
Yep.
Because, as I've said, their quicks can bowl Australia out.
They can win this. Around.
The umpires and they're still batting,
making their way out onto the field now.
Yeah, well,
on with Mick Malloy. But move a bit quicker.
pull
the covers off.
Out. Like they're having a chat.
Yeah,
one of them's texting.
Well, it's not raining. So no. How about just walk out, take the covers off, and we'll be on in 10. It does take far too long, Mick. Cricket is very staid in its ways and processes. And look, they are saying get the covers off. That's a positive sign. So, look, we expect play very, very shortly. But back to the state of play, and Kerry O'Keefe is talking about it here. If Pakistan don't declare, then Australia, say they get to 425 all out, whatever it is, Australia then come into bat. Australia aren't going to, I wouldn't imagine, offer any favours to Pakistan being 1-0 up.
Oh.
For a result to be caused here, I think there's going to have to be some bold declarations made from both teams.
Yeah, and I think Australia conceded. They lost the toss. Pakistan are closing on 400. They'll be happy with a draw leading 1-0, and they'll back themselves in Sydney. And that's why they don't have to force the issue at all. And they will offer Pakistan nothing. They'll say, rain ruined the game. We're not prepared to risk going to Sydney 1-1. So it's up to Pakistan to really... They've got to bowl Australia out twice.
One eye to Sydney, Kerry, as the covers are being removed. Just one eye to Sydney. I know it's a little bit presumptuous to be going there, but do you expect Australia to perhaps add a second spinner to the squad, and equally Pakistan might go with two spinners up there?
Yeah, I expect Australia to name an extended squad. Maybe Mitchell Marsh will come into a squad, but Stephen O'Keefe will also come in. They may name 14. I think Chad Sayers may make his debut, because one of the quicks... Given the workload of Brisbane and here, one of the quicks may have to bow to his wellness test, and he might enter a red area. Hopefully it's not Mitchell Starc, but if it is, Hazelwood becomes the attack leader, and then it's Bird and Chad Sayers on debut. I think O'Keefe will play. And Cartwright's first-class bowling average is so high, Mitchell Marsh is a better bowler, but... Cartwright is the first choice. He was back playing last night. Mitchell Marsh looked all right, I thought. I'm a fan of his bowling. But
is he good enough to bat in the top six for Australia is the question.
It's the question, isn't it? And he hasn't answered it.
He hasn't.
On particular surfaces, he is. And I've watched Hilton Cartwright on a few surfaces. I like him. I think he can bat.
But he's bowling. We need a batsman that bowls a little bit, and that's what he is, but I think his bowls a little bit is actually at the moment quite low.
Cartwright. If you had Hilton Cartwright's batting potential and Mitchell Marsh's bowling, you've got the perfect six.
Nice combo.
Yeah, but they haven't got that.
What about Pakistan's lineup? You're impressed with a young left-arm spinner, only 17 years of age.
He is. He actually turns 18 today, Chuck. Mohammad Asghar. ASGHAR. It'd be a romantic story for an 18-year-old to debut in Sydney against Australia. It'd be a bucket list for him. Very good action, rips it. Not Zulfikar Bubba who just slides on. This guy is a legitimate turner of the ball. I think they'll play Yasir Shah and Mohammad Asghar and really attack Australia with spin on what will be a Bunsen.
Okay. Well,
looking at the ground staff, they look exhausted. They're all going to need ice baths at the end of this test. They've done more heavy lifting than any of these players from either side. Good Lord, they'll need to be rested. Oh.
Rest and rotation policy, says Mick Molloy, for the ground staff tomorrow.
And Nerilee Meadows informs me rain's been predicted for rain's the first day of Sydney.
Oh, is that right? We've got to rest and rotate, boys, because we're going to have a change of commentary. We're going to take a break and come back with the new team to hopefully, and I suggest, kick off the action. The stumps are back in. The covers are off here at the MCG, where Pakistan will resume their innings. 7 for 368.
Welcome back to the MCG. It's lunch on day three here, the second test between Australia and Pakistan. Pakistan, at the start of the test match, won the toss and elected to bat first. It was a frustrating day yesterday, on and off for rain, and we lost about 3 hours because of the rain. And we've lost a bit of time this morning, but it's actually been pretty fair. It's overcast here at the MCG. All the kids are out on the field playing a bit of quick cricket. Pakistan, 7 for 433 on the Triple M Beaumont Tiles scoreboard. But the key thing here for Pakistan is that Sahail Khan has come in and played with a lot of flair and aggression. He's on 65, his highest test score to date. Azhar Ali, though, 196, just four short of a double 100, and would be the fifth Pakistani batsman to score 200 against Australia. I'm delighted to say that Kerry O'Keefe joins me now. It's Isha Gua here speaking to all our Triple M sport listeners. And it truly has been such a fantastic innings to watch, hasn't it, Kerry?
Oh, it has indeed. And just as Triple M are rocking Test cricket, so is Azhar Ali-ish. And Sahail Khan, the unlikely number nine, who we know has a swashbuckling side. Didn't see it when he first came to the crease. And I was one of the commentators saying they should be bowling now because they have to move the game forward quickly. But they had a number in mind, and it was obviously around 450. And there's no news of a declaration at 7 for 433-ish. So they look as if they're going to give Azhar Ali a chance to get this double century, and a much-deserved double century it will be, and look to make a declaration a few minutes into the afternoon session. But fantastic batting. Misbah-ul-Haq had a situation in mind. They'd like not to bat again in this match. I thought they should have considered they may have to bowl Australia out, then bat again. But they want to give Yasir Shah every chance with a big first innings total behind them, and they've achieved that. So they're now driving the bus, and it's basically down to this outstanding opener, Azhar Ali. What a technique! It's to a certain extent, it's not Virat Kohli, but it's pretty close because he plays with that open face. He gets well forward, and if you look at his wagon wheels, there's no area of the ground that he doesn't score to. So he's got the all-round game. He already has double hundreds in a match against Australia in Abu Dhabi on a flat pitch in 2014. Could he handle the bouncier surfaces here? Well, 71 first innings Brisbane and 196 not in the first innings in Melbourne. He can certainly handle the bouncier pitches.
Yeah, I particularly enjoyed the strokes down the ground from Azhar Ali. 196 from 354 deliveries. He remains unbeaten at lunch. There were 19 fours in that innings so far. Strike rate of 55. It was particularly interesting for me to have a look at Crick Info the other day and see that Misbah-ul-Haq, who's obviously had the opportunity to watch Azhar Ali bat quite a lot over the years, saying that Azhar Ali tends to mirror who he is batting with at the time. So with Sahail Khan at the other end, he's been able to flourish even more.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I read that quote, and he has drawn from Sahail Khan, who, the moment he upped the ante, as Azhar did, and as we saw on that highlight package, you know, he's a boundary hitter, and Sahail drew more boundaries out of him. And their assault on Nathan Lyon, again, throws Nathan Lyon under the spotlight. Mm. In turn, you know, he's conceded 109 runs for just the one wicket, and you know, they were bombing him for six. And there is side spin there initially in the day. I thought there wasn't a lot to encourage Yasir Shah, but with every over, in particular that last half hour, there was good side spin. So he is, apart from their three seamers, he is going to be a factor in this first and second innings. Yasir Shah, the leg spinner.
Kerry O'Keefe joining myself here in the commentary box and just having a look at Azhar Ali's innings, 196 from 354 deliveries so far. Is there anything else the Australian bowlers could have done?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, the bounce of Shannon Gabriel, the West Indian fast bowler, undid him a couple of times, and this had a bit of bounce in it. Mitchell Stark tested him, and Stark has in fact got him out a few times. But he actually attacked Stark through this innings. He never allowed Stark to settle and get rhythm against him. He sat on Josh Hazlewood, who he thought may be a risk to try and hit him open face through the cover. He said, no, I'm a chance of nicking Hazlewood, but I like Stark's fullness and I'll slap his shortness as well. So he, to counter-attack Australia's strike weapon, was brilliant thinking, and he was actually able to do it. So this has been as good a constructed innings from Azhar Ali that I've seen at the MCG. And of course it's up there, past Pakistan's highest score here in an innings for one individual.
Well, he's gone past Majid Khan, 158. Now, you were speaking yesterday about World Series cricket, Kerry, and reminding us of exactly what it was about and some very good stories that you had to tell from that time. We're just going to go along the theme of Pakistan, because there were a number of the Pakistani cricket team that were involved in World Series cricket, and Majid Khan was one of them.
He was. And funnily enough, before Azhar Ali went past Majid Khan and Asif Iqbal, they were the one too. I actually played in both games that allowed Majid Khan and Asif Iqbal to get 158 and 152 respectfully. Is it me?
How many overs did you bowl?
A lot.
Okay.
Too many.
So maybe it is you.
It is me. You know, Azhar Ali would love me to be bowling out there. But Majid Khan was an out. He got 158 here at the MCG in 1972. It was a brilliant innings. Batted with a white floppy hat for most of it against DK Lilly. It was Jeff Thompson's first game for Australia. He got none for 110. But he played with a broken bone in his foot.
Right.
So he didn't.
I bet those guys got a bit riled up though. White floppy hat.
Yeah, oh, they did. And they said they're going to knock it off him. But he was such a gentleman, Majid Khan. Have you met him?
Never.
No, he's an outstanding. I think he's been president of Pakistan cricket at some stage, not now, but one of the great gentlemen. Nobody's got a bad word for him. He was an outstanding player. And an outstanding player of fast bowling with a white floppy as his only protection. He was pre-helmet, and he was a swayer and swayed late. And he's got DK Lilly trying to hit him in the head, and he's just letting it, you know, he's leaving it inches from his nose. With the white floppy hat on. And I thought, wow, if he gets hit, you know what, it's not great protection, is it, the white floppy?
No.
Never has been.
Absolutely
but
not,
never
especially
got
when you get hit by a DK Lilly or a Jeff Thompson. Now, I'm just having a look at the lineup here for the World 11 in the World Series. We've got Imran Khan, Javed Miandad, Haroon Rashid, Majid Khan, who we've already mentioned, Mushtaq Mohammed, Sarfraz Nawaz, Taslim Arif, Zahir Abbas, who played 78 tests, of course, for Pakistan. Asif Iqbal. What do they make of the whole experience?
Well, you know, first-class cricket in Pakistan has always been dysfunctional. I mean, even now, nobody tours there because of the terrorist threat. They've been, and their payers have been amongst the most poorly paid in world cricket for some time. So World Series cricket was an attraction to them. That's why eight of them came. Because the Kerry Packer money was far and away. And Majid Khan and Imran are much principled, much for the betterment of cricket. But they still had to get an earning out of their profession. And Kerry Packer offered them that they were not going to get in traditional test cricket for Pakistan. So eight or nine of them came, and they conduct themselves brilliantly. They played a lot of up-country cricket. And yet they went to all the townships that World Series cricket went to, away from the major grounds, and played to their ability. And that's why it was so tough, because you had these outstanding test players playing one days in, you know, Victorian regions, Queensland coastal regions.
How much of an attraction was it for the locals there?
Oh, well, they knew of Imran and Majid and Javed. They knew that these were world-class players, so they did come along to see the Australians, see how they'd go against them. They weren't playing for their nation, of course, but they were representing a quality of cricket that they hadn't seen. So they came to watch these outstanding. I mean, Imran Khan was just charging in, you can imagine. He was fantastic.
Probably won a lot of female supporters as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of women in the crowds. I thought maybe they got in free, but but because Imi was there, they tended to turn up. And he was terrific. I think of when they mentioned the three great all-rounders of my era, there was Botham, Richard Hadley and Imran Khan. I've got Botham as the best batsman of those three, and Hadley is the best bowler. But I've got Imran at two in everything, in batting and bowling, but not at number one.
Well, Richard Hadley, of course, got to play alongside Imran Khan during that series. I suppose it was probably the first time that had happened, where you had overseas players playing with each other.
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't know the Pakistanis and or really all the West Indians, but it was just, I was captained by Eddie Barlow in the we were called the Cavaliers. We were the second 11, that we had a South African captain who was fantastic. And there were incidents. I mean, you got so many races together. Safraz Nawaz, who basically passed on the secrets of reverse swing to Imran Khan. And I mean, what Safraz Nawaz could do with a cricket ball, and before it was actually presented to you, he could change. It was a makeover. And he was, but he was a feisty character, and difficult to play with, difficult to play against. But Eddie Barlow did a terrific job with Safraz. Zahir Abbasi was the first guy I'd saw come out and bat in glasses. And again, we had Majid Khan with a white floppy at one end and Zahir Abbasi at the other with glasses facing Lillian Thompson with the old spectacles. And I thought, oh, it's going to get ugly. But of course, Zahir Abbasi averaged 44 in test crickets and he never got hit. And he was a nightmare to field in the gully too, because he had this flashing polyarmor bat. Do they have polyarmors these days?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's that glistening polyarmor coating. And he had it, and I was in the gully, and every time he picked it up to cut, I just saw a flash of lightning. And next moment the ball was whipping past.
Was that your excuse?
Yeah, it was. But everybody that filled in the gully to Zahir Abbas said the same.
Right.
And Haroon Rashid, who was a very well-performed player, lovely guy, Haroon, but I mean, he made Wolverine look hairless. He had more body hair than I've ever seen. So I couldn't see the ball out of his forearm hair when he batted. Asif Iqbal, outstanding player. He won test matches for Pakistan with the bat. He got 150, that third highest, before Azhar Ali got 190. He was sitting two, he's now sitting three. I played in that game as well, bowled 53 overs to him. He got 152 to deny us. Javed Miandad, who was, like, he would have been Fagan the movie Oliver Twist.
Yep.
He was like a street urchin that, you know, a fantastic player, but eye player, and moved around the crease. Mm. And Javed was fantastic.
Yeah, over 8,000 runs for him.
Yeah, average
52.
In test cricket.
Yep.
And people said, oh, with that technique where he moves around the crease and with his bat held a little Steve Smith-like, people said, can he succeed? Mm. And, well, average of 52 in that many tests.
Well, yeah. I think Steve Smith does pretty well at
he
it
does
as well,
too.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, Kerry, I'd love to speak to you more about World Series
No, love chatting
cricket.
To you. But Pakistan cricket issues we've seen, it may be dysfunctional, but it presents occasionally these players And Azhar Ali is the latest.
And the current situation for Pakistan, 7 for 433 as they went into lunch, and I'm sure there's a lot of Pakistani fans around the world who are tuning in to this test match because they certainly have been performing. I'm joined here by Kerry O'Keefe, and Neroli Meadows is also here with us in the commentary box. She's been doing a great job for Triple M Sport across the last few days. But the one thing I want to talk about is David Saker's comments last night about the overload of the bowlers. Are they being overloaded?
Well, he seems to think so. He says it's a genuine concern, not just for this test, but in general. He says we're desperate to find an all-rounder, which is an interesting comment because on two fronts here. First of all, if you look at the selectors and what they've gone for, they had the option of picking Hilton Cartwright and instead they stuck with Nick Maddison. So that's an interesting comment to make 2 days into a test match when the selectors have opted to stick with Nick Maddison instead of going with the all-rounder that they brought in for cover. But I think the most interesting thing about the timing of these comments is if you're a bowling coach and you come out and say, I'm worried that my quicks are being overloaded and overworked, if you're the opposition team, what do you then do? You bat for as long as humanly possible. And what are we seeing today? Pakistan just keep batting and grinding the Aussie seamers into the ground. And if you're then looking ahead to the SCG, they'd be licking their lips at the fact that the bowling coach has said we're being overworked. Am I right in saying that, Kerry?
You're definitely right, Nis. I mean, there's the problem for Australia. As much as David Saker is well aware that there's going, one of the three quicks will not play in Sydney, and potentially two, Chad Sayers will make his test debut in Sydney. There could be a change in the spin option as well. Is Hilton Cartwright, with a first-class bowling average of 42, the right all-rounder? I mean, it should be Mitchell Marsh, who's the much superior bowler, but his numbers aren't good enough at six. Hilton Cartwright has potential to be a test number six, but he is a very much part-time bowler.
Absolutely. And the other option is taking in two spinners at the SCG. We talk about it every year. Well, Peter Siddle said on Fox Sports, even as a quick, he said there's a great possibility that they'll take in the two spinners. And then do you bring in somebody like Stephen O'Keefe, who's had the calf issues for the last couple of months? Mm. Or do you look at an all-rounder in a Glenn Maxwell or Travis Head type scenario? And they need to have an eye on India as well coming up and what they want to do there. But you speak of Mitch Marsh. He had unbeaten 31 for the Scorchers last night and took 1 for 13 with the ball. So Mitch Marsh was doing a little bit of good work there for the Scorchers in a losing side, but he just hasn't put the runs on the board. As far as being a bowler, though, he could be a genuine bowler in a test side, not just an all-rounder.
And that's the key. And the Sydney surface won't suit his batting because he is a plonker of that front foot. As much as I admire his ability, but he can be vital. He can be a cog with the ball. But that's the problem they got. Moses Henriques, again, another player beset by injury, just hasn't got the numbers. And Nathan Lyon is down on form again. Steve O'Keefe is just back from injury. Pakistan are going to play two spinners. If they were to go to Sydney 1-all, and they're in a position to drive this game and win it, they'll bring in their 18-year-old, who turns 18 today, Mohammad Asghar, very good left-arm orthodox spinner. They'll go with Yasir Shah, Mohammad Asghar. They may, after Brisbane, the momentum has shifted completely towards Pakistan. They may actually, if they do, they will go in as favourites to take the series in Sydney, given Australia's in some sort of disorder.
And there was more international talk out of last night's Scorcher Sixers fixture because Sean Marsh made his return for the first time since he injured re-broke his finger at the Wacker. He made just 8 runs, which gives Nick Maddison a little bit of breathing room depending on what they do in Sydney. He made just 8 runs, but they are more looking at his fitness rather than others, and he's playing up against the Renegades tomorrow night here.
People would be certainly taking a keen interest in how Sean Marsh goes, especially with a view of Australia going to India in the coming months and whether they decide to try and get Sean Marsh back into the squad or go with a Nick Maddison.
Yeah, and I think they do want to get him because I think he's a terrific slow pitch player. I think they definitely want Sean Marsh in India. But is it at the expense of Matthew Renshaw, who we want to see more expansive stroke range from M. Renshaw? or is it Madison?
And for a 20-year-old, India would be a massive challenge. Oh. The other one from last night is there's talk now that 34-year-old Johan Boitzer, who became a naturalised Australian on the eve of the Adelaide Test, could play for Australia. He's come out and said it would be unbelievable to represent Australia, whether that's just at 2020 level or also in the one day, as he was 30 not out and took one for 26 and a brilliant catch as well. But that's the other talking point as far as an international cricket point of view out of the Big Bash last night.
Yes.
Stay tuned, Australia, that's for sure.
Stop it. We tried a South African coach. It didn't work. Why should we go to a South African spinner? Come on. Are we in that so much disarray? Oh, please. We're not, surely.
We've got three blokes in the squad at the moment who are born in other countries. So,
speaking of South Africa, they've been in action against Sri Lanka. Quick update on that one.
Yeah, certainly South Africa were all out for 286 after being none for 104. JP Duminy top scored with 63. Saranga Lakmal did the damage with the ball, 5 for 63. And JP Duminy is also doing, Vernon Philander is doing well with the ball, 3 for 35 with Sri Lanka in reply, 7 for 181, still 105 runs behind.
Thank you very much for your time, Neroli Meadows. And it's now time to introduce our commentary team for the first session after lunch. Darren Berry. We've got Merv Hughes and Jules Schiller.
Thank you very much, Ish. Yes, you described it nicely. Australia, Merv and Hughes and Jules are going to have to come back out into the field again. They've been out there 124 overs, Mervyn, after fielding for 145 overs at the Gabba. Now, my maths was not that flash, but I'm adding that up. 269 overs in the field. I know they've had a week off in between, Merv, but when does it start to take tax on the body?
They'd be feeling it, but the thing about it, 50 overs the first day, so it's not as though they've been out there for a full day at any stage. Half a day the first day, half a day yesterday, they've been out again. And make no mistake about it, no matter how hard they train, no matter how fit they are, they'll be feeling the pinch.
Nothing like being out there.
Yeah, that's right. And for Mitch Stark, we've seen that. He's bowling, he's not up around the high 140s, he's low 140s, so it just takes the edge off a little bit. And it's not so much the pace of the ball, it's the strength into the wicket that the bowlers will be feeling. So all the bowlers are tall and they're there for their bounce. And when you get a little bit tired, you lose that strength into the wicket. And Chuck, you know from your batting days that it's not the pace of the ball that worries a good batsman, it's the bounce. And when the Pakistani batsmen are able to get on the front foot and handle our three fast bowlers, then we've got a real problem. And we saw that in Brisbane in the second innings where the life went out of the wicket. And we're seeing it here again now. And so Hale's come in, and hasn't he just turned things around? His attitude, he worked really hard for his first 20, 30 runs, and then he just exploded.
65 off 65 balls.
Wow.
So Hale can.
He's on the top.
I'm tipping his last 30 balls came off about, last 30 runs came off about 10 balls. So hit four sixes, he hit three boundaries in that. So he got good runs in quick time, and make no mistake about it, it is good runs. So the Pakistanis now for mine will be thinking, if we can get 500 here, we can bowl Australia out before the follow-on. We're a real chance to win this game. So it's a dangerous time for Australia now. Josh Hazlewood starting, two slips, gully, point, cover, mid-off, mid-on. A deepy square leg. He's just going back now, a fine leg. So it's a more defensive field already. And I reckon once Steve Smith has come to the conclusion, we've got to stop these boundaries, boys. Stop them from hitting boundaries.
Jules, I was trying to get you in, but Merv's taken up all the airspace there. So very quickly, how's your body held up for 124 overs watching?
Oh, it's pretty good. It's taken a bit of a battering, especially in the evening, the last session, but doing well, Chuck.
Australia won for 131 in the second innings here on day three of the second test between Australia and Pakistan. It was Pakistan who declared on 443, nine down they were. Azhar Ali scoring 205 from 364 deliveries, 24s, and a strike rate of 56 in that wonderful, wonderful innings. It's the second highest score by a tourist here at the MCG. It really was delightful to watch, but Australia have been going very well since they've been out to bat. 4.67 is their economy. And David Warner's on 77 off 78 deliveries. Usman Khawaja unbeaten on 39. It was Matt Renshaw who went a little bit earlier for 10 off 40. Just getting a little bit frustrated at the crease and swiping across the line to Yasir Shah. He was bowled. I'm joined by Kerry O'Keefe, Mick Molloy.
Hello.
And another very warm welcome to the PM. Malcolm Turnbull is in the house. Can't keep him away. And you brought the sun with you, Malcolm.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, Ishiko. And it's nice to actually hear you on the radio, too, on the M's. We, for a long time, have had a great association with English commentators here. Christopher Martin Jenkins talking about the rap of Leather on Willow and Henry Blofeld, old Blowers himself. And I would like to add your delightful voice and cricketing knowledge to that number, Isha. It's
fantastic.
Tremendous to be here.
And that's very kind words from you, Prime Minister. But let's be honest, we've got you here, and it's not a puff piece. We have to ask some hard questions.
Well, there's going to be some tough questions.
You've given us great access.
Absolutely.
Over the course of the Test match.
And I know that you're hard at the ball, Michael, because you're a pinko, like Titch Shorten. You'd be happy to just rip our wealth off us and give it to the unemployed and the sick and the infirmed and the old.
Well, if you mean I lean slightly to the left, yes, I do. And you mentioned the old. I'm going to ask you a question. This is something close to Kerry's heart.
Mm.
I know. Your popularity is on the nose with pensioners.
Well,
what is going on?
The pension has been just an absolute gravy train for too long in this country. The 60-plus card, money just thrown at people at the end of their lives. For no good reason, and we're putting a stop to it. We're going to kick them all off the pension. Every old person, if you smell like tea and biscuits and urine, you're done. You're going to have to fend for yourselves. And I'm all for self-funded retirees like me. Why don't you get a nest egg? Get some influential friends, get some good advice when it comes to blue chip. I mean, Kerry, have you got a portfolio, or are you going to be on the lam like the rest of these grey-headed nomads stumbling to dusky death?
Well, PM, none of us had your luck in as far as buying
it was hard
Aussie
work.
Mail at 500,000 and 5 years later selling it for 57 million. Pensioner do that?
What a tremendous piece of luck that was. Because I just got out of Aussie Mail before the tech bubble burst. It was tremendous.
The timing was
it's almost like I knew something.
Yeah.
And I got out. And I made an absolute killing. And, of course, I was the head of Goldman Sachs for a while in New York. So I've used my time fruitfully. Haven't been gaming or, you know, smashing bucket bongs. I've just been a good, hard-working guy. Just like your regular man in the street.
You are a merchant banker. And that's not rhyming slang.
I think you're using it as rhyming slang, Michael. I'd like to just warn you there. Don't go too far.
Are you across Pakistani culture, Peter?
Well, I thoroughly enjoy the history of the subcontinent and Gandhi, what a tremendous chap he was. A little bit of a troublemaker and a stirrer, but he did make his own clothes, and that's initiative, isn't it? And he was responsible, of course, for the separation of India and the creation of Pakistan.
Some say passive, his passive aggression. To me, he was just a bit lazy.
Passive aggression. A pacifist, Michael.
A pacifist. I mean,
he didn't send mean tweets to his enemies. That's passive aggression.
That's right.
But Mr. Turnbull,
I do enjoy the culture, Kerry. Lucy has become very involved in the Pakistani diet over the last few nights. We've had almond stuffed meatballs with spicy tomato sauce, mint and tamarind chutney, and a slow-cooked lamb and lentil stew last night, and falooda, a dessert that gets its influence from the Middle East. And to tell you the truth, I've got a bit of an upset stomach today, so I haven't been too far away from the gents for most of it.
Well, that's good for you. Are you enjoying the humid conditions here today? I mean, you mentioned you like the Pakistani culture, but we know the subcontinent, it can get a bit humid. Oh. It's been up
we've had it
point.
All, haven't we? Melbourne does have those four seasons in one day. We've had a lot of precipitation. Now the sun's broken through, and it is, steamy, continental, tropical but conditions. How do you describe it, though? Moist is a word no one wants to use. Juicy. Is it steamy, sweaty? Or would you just call it a succulent day?
It's a succulent day
for everyone to enjoy a bit of the juice of, Michael.
And what about the rubbish that we've seen?
Really, pick up your rubbish. If you're going to eat a pie, first of all, I've got a problem with pies on the menu. This is a great opportunity to examine the menu here at the G. It's always chips and pies. What about a Rogan Josh or some nice foie gras matched with a Sangiovese? I mean, why does it always have to be beers and pies and late afternoon flatulence and the rubbish is blowing around? It really is quite a sight.
You make a good point. I want to thank you for swinging by. Where are you off to now? Members' dining room?
Absolutely. I'll go and rub shoulders with some of my friends in the members' dining room.
You've been down to the Bullring.
Well, why don't I pop down to the Bullring and have a beer Because I dare say that people will call me names down there. I'll be subject to some unkindness, and I don't want that. But it's always a pleasure to join you on Triple M.
You're very kind to swing by.
Well, if you play your cards right, PM, you might even get Mick Molloy to buy you a Sangiovese.
I will.
Oh, really?
I'll come down.
Good on you, Michael.
Oh, Sangiovese.
And good on you, Aisha. Goodbye, Carrie, and good luck with your old age.
A pleasure, as always, to have the PM
that was rude.
In
rude
the box with us here at tea time on day three of the second test between Australia and Pakistan. Aisha Gewert speaking to you here. We've got Kerry O'Keefe in the commentary box and also Jules Schiller. How good was it to see the PM again?
No, it just gives it such great gravitas on Triple M cricket. And he comes in. I mean, we've got to stop him coming in. I mean, it keeps ringing. Can I come on? You know, the novelty will wear off. You know,
it's just a waft of rich mahogany, isn't there, as he walks in and out. Oh. And vintage port.
Yeah.
But he is really committed to Triple M, and it's great to see.
Yeah, he certainly is. And we look forward to hearing more from him as the test progresses. That's for sure. I'm not so sure, though, Kerry, about him having a go at your age.
I know. I mean, we didn't all have his Aussie email luck, as he pointed out.
I put my shares in Video Easy about 3 years ago.
And look, he probably would have made it elsewhere, but to lampoon pensioners, the fact that we haven't cracked it like that at 67, it's tough. But I really appreciate him having, because we've never asked him about his cricket. And I know he was very good, but we'll probably have him tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
next time.
And we'll ask him a little bit more in depth about his own play, which I believe was very strong.
Absolutely. We'll certainly add that to the list of questions for the PM in the future. Okay, so back here at the G, the umpires are out. Ian Gould just putting the bails onto the stumps. Asravi is out there as well. Australia, 1 for 131. Pakistan declared a little earlier on 443. There were 9 wickets down at the time. Azhar Ali unbeaten on 205 off 364 deliveries, 24s in that. He played all around the ground and really did treat the public and also the Pakistani fans all around the world to a wonderful display of batting. Played tremendously well down the ground. Lots of poise and balance at the crease. He was very patient indeed, and you were very impressed with him, weren't you, Kerry?
Oh, I think you can add that name to Smith, Root, Williamson and Kohli. I think, without over-exaggerating, Azhar Ali's talent, I think he's in that top five on what we've seen. We saw it in Brisbane in the second innings. We can't forget he did get 100 in each innings against Australia in Abu Dhabi in 2014. So this is not a flash in the pan. He's got a test triple century and another double. So this is a player for the ages, Azhar Ali. I mean, all the talk is of Virat Kohli and Joe Root and of course, our own Stephen Smith. But this is a player who's going to score prolifically for Pakistan in the years to come.
But he's had his problems in ODIs. I mean, the Pakistanis have called for him to lose the captaincy, haven't they? Like, when you say Virat Kohli, at the test level, he's stupendous. But he's struggled in the shorter forms of the game, would you say, Skull?
Oh, he has. I mean, his has been a rocky road. He hasn't been... Gilt-edged from the start. You know, he's had to battle through, and it's taken him a long time and a lot of teams. If you look at who he's played for, he's played for a lot of teams inside Pakistan. But he's now found his game, found his rhythm, and at his age, I think, what is he?
31.
31, yeah. I mean, the next 4 years, you would think, if he retains his fitness levels, are going to be very, very good for Azhar Ali.
From one opener to another, David Warner, there's been a lot of talk about him ahead of this test match, the fact that he's never scored a century here in test cricket, the MCG, and he's looking very good for one at the moment, I have to say. 77 off 78 deliveries. I don't think he's left one, has he, Kerry?
Well, no, and that was his problem early on when they were bowling seventh stump line. He was still having a fence at them. But he survived, and blue sky, flat pitch. It's pin your ears back. He has his rhythm. The ball's not moving. And I know South Africa beat Australia. And I remember Steve Smith saying, what was the difference? He said, oh, their bowlers gave us no freebies. And it's a colloquial term, but it's absolutely crucial playing Australia, no freebies. And when you look at the way Pakistan bowl, they've Australia struck 18 boundaries in 20-odd overs. So there are freebies available. And the way to contain Australia is to keep it tight against them, bowl the areas that deny them the boundaries. Pakistan have bowled Jaffers, but they've also bowled freebies. Mm. And Australia are away once you give them the four ball.
Well, it was Sahail Khan that caused a few problems early on, just beating the bat of Warner as he looked to play every delivery. But it wasn't long before he was finding the middle of his bat on regular occasions. Mohammad Amir was probably the pick, economy of 2.44, but it was Yasir Shah with the breakthrough. Matthew Renshaw just getting a little frustrated, 10 off 40 deliveries and looking to swipe across the line. Yasir Shah, though, has bowled a few freebies, as has Wahab Riaz, who's really struggled to find his rhythm.
Definitely, and Wahab Riaz, at his age, I mean, Wahab Riaz is a 31-year-old bully fast bowler. So, you know, it seems a contradiction in terms to be, but that's what he's about, and he's always aggressive, always looking to make something happen. Unfortunately, four balls stem from that, and they have.
Well, Misbah Ul-Haq has decided to entrust Wahab Riaz with the ball after tea. Overs remaining today, 38. We're looking to play on till 6:30. There was a bit of a delay at the start because of drizzle and the covers on. We had a lot of interruptions yesterday with the rain, but this afternoon, so far so good. It's been absolutely beautiful and gorgeous outside, and the sun is shining.
Australia now 2 for 278, chasing Pakistan's first innings total of 9 declared for 443. And the man there was Ali, who got himself 205 not out. And we're going to have some day highlights in a moment, and we're going to have a chat to David Warner. But I've still got Jules Schiller with me, and I've still got Kerry O'Keefe. Kerry, I'll start with you. A wonderful day's cricket after we expected not to get a lot of play today with the weather, but it's now lovely and we're set fair for the next couple of days, hopefully.
We are, Gus. Pakistan owned the morning and early part of the day through Azhar Ali, 205 not. He was brilliant, hit 20 boundaries, and he's a player that's going to just score prodigiously over the next few years. The cameo came from their number nine, Sahail Khan, 65 from 65, and I think he convinced Misbah Ul-Haq this was a belter. And although they had 443, they may have thought we can't get beaten from here, but they reckoned without D. Warner, Matraville, and he's come in and just played the most brilliant innings, full of cuts, whips, deflections, and committed to breaking the drought of hundreds in Melbourne and in Test cricket through 2016. He got 144 from 143. He lost Renshaw on the way, hoiking at Yasir Shah out for 10. But Khawaja came in and he's played brilliant, laconic, languid, plays like David Gower. Lovely punch-covered drives, works to the leg side well. He's such a player, a lock at three for Australia. He's 95 not at stumps. The captain, Smudger Smith's with him. He looks 10 and looks pretty safe. He has form at the ground. He'll be tough tomorrow. Australia 2 for 278. They're placed to force the issue. They may even lead on the first innings and put Pakistan under pressure when they bat again. Who would have thought this morning when we were crying for a declaration to bowl under cloudy skies? Well, the clouds lifted. It was a brilliant day for batting. This is an absolute road. Yasir Shah, who needs purchase, who needs deviation off the deck, didn't get much today. He was found wanting just variations on the one stock ball and went at around 7.5 and over. Wahab Riaz, of course, disturbed Warner's stumps with a brilliant reverse swinging full delivery, but he was transgressing with no balls, and that delivery was actually won. So unlucky for him. Misbah Ul-Haq didn't have his best day as skipper. He set unorthodox fields, desperate fields. He didn't think he had the bowling firepower to get wickets. Traditionally, he tried quirky. It didn't work. Australia finished the day with all the momentum. They'll be hard to hold out here. They'll talk about winning this game from a position chasing 4-4-3. And they'll say, no, we can still win it. Wow, it's such a turnaround. I didn't think this would be the stump score tonight when we were here under heavy cloud cover this morning and urging Pakistan to declare around 350. Well, 350 would have got them beaten. So it's such a stunning turnaround. I don't know. They reckoned without David Warner, although the moment he got set, they thought, wow, he's set, we're in trouble, and they set defensive fields and funny fields, and he made them pay. He's an intimidator. He's a player that's just, you know, he's now, that's his 17th test century. I think there's plenty more left for Dee Warner.
Yeah, something very wonderful when he walks to the crease, Jules.
I'm with you, Skull. I remember when we came in, I said, what's it like when you know you can't win? Because I thought that Australia was just trying to save and maybe go for a draw here after a 4.43 score in the first innings with a rain delay. You would say, well, Pakistan have really put this game to bed now. It's either a win or draw for them. But Australia have come out as the day bright, and so did our prospects. Mm. It was a tonk fest. Dave Warner, more swipes than a schoolie on Tinder, more glances than I do when I walk into a hen's night.
Of course.
He just went nuts, and that's the thing about Dave Warner. He has transformed Test cricket from a slow, plodding opening partnership to a smack fest. And how good is it to see? And I'm going to come into tomorrow's day cocksure, yep. Gus, and strutting
so, and
jiving.
So will the rest of the Triple M team. There's no doubt about it. Let's go to a David Warner interview now. Earlier, we caught up with Channel 9.
Your 17th test century and your first at the MCG must be a great feeling.
Yeah, thanks, Hills. Yeah, it's probably my bogey venue. But I got that off the back. But we're in a good position now. Our aim was to take the scoreboard out of the equation and just bat.
Yeah, what did you make of their total of 443? Very gettable and going past it?
Yeah, look, you've obviously got to take the weather into consideration. We can't control that. So for us, it's about trying to bat as big as we could, or as big as we can, and make the most of it in the first innings.
When players in my era made 143, it generally wasn't off 144 balls, and they came off full of sunburn, you know, dehydrated, struggling down the ramp. You've done it in 49 overs. How does that make you feel? Is it as easy as it looks for you?
Look, that's just the way I play. You know, I see the ball and I hit the ball, and you know, there's a bit of luck that's going to get involved as well. You're going to play and miss a fair bit. You know, the odd one might seem, but you just got to let that go and worry about the next ball. And that's how I approach all my innings, whether or not it's test matches, one days or 2020s.
Yes, and long may it continue. 144 for Davey Warner, and that's where we're going to wrap today. And we'll be back at 9.55 tomorrow across the Triple M network.
Triple M rocks test cricket.